2 days ago, Starbase 514 lost contact with the research vessel Vico, which was sent to explore the interior of the Black Cluster. We are en route to investigate.
Captain, we're entering Sector 9-7.
I'm picking up massive gravitational fluctuations, sir.
Take us out of war, Benson.
Yes, sir.
The Black Cluster is within visual range, Captain.
On screen.
Aye, sir.
Let's find that ship. Full sensor sweep, Mr. Data.
Aye, sir.
What a sight.
One of the most ancient formations in the galaxy.
I have located the Vico, sir. The vessel appears to be adrift.
Let's see it.
Much of the Vico's hull has been torn away and it drifts, a ghost ship. Picard and Riker approach the screen, awed and filled with dread by what's before them.
Life signs?
Nothing, Commander.
Damage report, Mr. Data.
Outer and inner hulls have been breached. Decks 7 through 12 are exposed to space.
Set up a translink to their computer core. Let's see what happened.
I cannot, sir. The emergency bulkheads on that deck are in place. Our link-up signal cannot penetrate them.
Structural status, Commander.
Stress readings indicate considerable pressure on the transfer supports.
Is it stable enough for an awaiting?
Yes, sir. But the risk of structural collapse is quite high.
Have Transporter Room 1 maintain a lock on each member of your away team. I want you out of there at the first sign of trouble.
Take us to 15,000 meters, Ensign.
Yes, sir.
Data, you're with me.
As Riker and Data race from the bridge, Picard is left to contemplate the Vico and the terrible unknown fate which befell it in the heart of the Black Cluster. Aboard the wrecked Vico, lights strobe erratically, steam escapes, making visibility uncertain. Fallen beams and jagged shards of metal are everywhere. A corpse lies face down, his fingers spread over broken glass. Riker, Data, and LaForge beam aboard. Riker explores with a flashlight while Data scans for life signs. LaForge carries what he needs to access the computer core manually. An electrical surge dislodges some of the ceiling and they just escape injury. More dead bodies line a hallway and Data checks for any positive readings but can only shake his head. They arrive at some instrumentation.
This station is inoperable, sir.
This one seems to be stuck in a feedback loop.
Let's see if we can tap directly into the computer core.
The Odian Junction is right down here.
They remove an insulated panel and Geordi prepares to access the computer core.
Data?
At Data's touch, a beam of purple light spears the Vico's computer core.
Core transfer is engaged.
Exchange protocol verified. Files are intact, at least some of them anyway.
Stay here, Geordi. Data?
Riker leads Data away and they cautiously turn a corner, picking their way carefully along. Riker shining his torch deep into the forbidding shadows of the wreckage. Eventually, its beam falls across a small boy trapped under a girder and blinking, dazzled by the light. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Hero Worship, voiced by Glenn MacReady. A comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet. The Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat plains of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations,
to boldly go where no one has gone before.
Starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, and Brent Spiner as Commander Data. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn push the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines of the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light.
Captain's log supplemental. A young boy, shielded from our initial sensor scans, has been discovered pinned beneath a fallen beam. The degree of damage to the Vico is making our rescue attempt difficult. Transporter room one, can you lock onto him and transport directly to sickbay?
I'll try, Captain, but there's a lot of shielding to pull him through.
Acknowledged. Picard to Crusher.
Sickbay here, Captain.
Prepare for emergency transport.
Yes, sir. Crusher out.
Picard to Commander Riker. Is the boy ready, number one?
Ready, sir.
It's your signal.
Aye, Captain. It's going to be okay. Here we go. Energize.
Ensign, do we have him?
The lock is holding. I just can't resolve the matter stream. Not with all that Victorium alloy in the way.
The boy almost materializes on Dr. Crusher's examination couch.
Commander Riker, you'll have to get him out into the corridor.
I could move the beam, sir. However, it may initiate the collapse of the surrounding supports. I recommend you and Geordi return to the ship.
Agreed, LaForge.
I'm locked on to Commander Data and the boy, sir. I'll energize as soon as they've cleared the bulkheads.
Whenever you're ready, Data.
Yes, sir.
You gonna live that?
Yes. Then I will take you to the corridor. We will transport back to the Enterprise from there. Do you understand?
How come you can pick up something so heavy?
I am an android. My strength is many times that of a human. It is going to be okay. I will count to three. One, two, three.
With just one arm, Data lifts the beam and instantly a chain reaction triggers the collapse of everything around them. The boy makes a dash for the corridor but collapses on the stairs. Data catches him up and hoists him to his feet.
Energize!
They materialize in the sick bay just as a falling girder would have crushed them. At the sight of Dr. Crusher, the boy instinctively clings to Data's arm.
Don't be afraid.
Captain's log supplemental. A thorough search of the Vico has revealed no additional survivors. We have begun the process of counseling the boy with regard to the tragedy.
We were in the Black Cluster. I don't know where they came from. They had a big ship. Then they kept shooting at us. Then they beamed over. They had purple helmets on and phaser rifles. I saw them. They didn't see me.
You're safe now, Timothy. I'm sorry for what happened. It's gonna be all right. I bet you're hungry. Would you like me to get you something to eat?
He nods, and as Deanna Troi approaches, he holds tight onto Data's hand.
Counselor, I must join Commander LaForge in engineering. If you will excuse me.
He won't let go of Data's hand.
Timothy, would you like Data to stay with you a little bit longer?
He nods again, and Data is nonplussed by the boy's behavior. Meanwhile, Picard and LaForge study a schematic of the Vico.
Sections of the primary and secondary hull were torn right off. The shearing planes are here, here, and here.
How much longer until we can access their logs?
Almost an hour.
Picard brings up a side cross-section of the Vico.
The boy was here.
Mm-hmm. The hallway outside the computer core. His mother was the ship's systems engineer. The second away team found her body here, inside the core.
And his father?
Ship's second officer. He was most likely on the bridge when it was exposed to space.
Most likely.
The boy is now asleep, so Data gently lets go of his hand.
He'll sleep for a few hours at least. I don't need to keep him here, but I will need to see him again tomorrow. You've got your work cut out for you. His world is gone, Data. We're gonna have to help him build a new one.
This is not good. Whatever hit the Vico must have set up an EM pulse that flashed through their computer banks.
Nearly 83% of their records have been lost.
And all of their sensor logs. Let's use what we got from our own sensors. We'll call up the structural analysis and the surface scans.
Geordi, as a child, did you ever experience a traumatic event?
You wondering about Timothy?
Yes.
LaForge slowly turns and walks over to the pulsating blue reactor. Data waits for a reply.
I was caught in a fire once. I must have been, I don't know, about five, I guess. It was before I got the first visor. And it was only a couple of minutes before my parents found me and pulled me out. And nobody got hurt, but I tell you, that was the longest couple of minutes of my life. It was a while after that before I could even let my parents get out of earshot. It was like I absolutely needed to know that they were there, you know?
Timothy no longer has that kind of support.
Yeah.
In the ship's schoolroom,
Dara and her brother found themselves in the land of Targus, where the ruler, Elamos the Magnificent, had proclaimed as law, no children will be tolerated within the great kingdom. When Dara saw the proclamation, she just laughed and said, how magnificent a ruler, to be frightened by the likes of us? Timothy, we're done with sculpture for now.
It's not finished.
We'll come back to it next period. Why don't you pick up your mythology book and follow along?
But it's not finished.
The boy compulsively continues with his model as the teacher turns to Deanna, who has been observing all this at a discreet distance.
Magnetic residual analysis confirms that the Vico was definitely tacked inside the black cluster. The graviton wave fronts pushed the ship to where we found it.
No signs of phaser burns on the hull.
No, sir. Torsional stress levels point to a disruptor-style weapon.
Fracture points indicate that the energy burst came from a range of less than 3,000 meters.
But that's a strategy consistent with a cloaked vessel. Romulan, or not Klingon, but we're quite a distance from either of their territories.
The Breen have outposts in this sector. The attack on the Vico is consistent with their battle tactics and their level of technology.
Thank you, Data.
But what would the Breen be doing inside the black cluster? The boy described a boarding party with helmets and phaser rifles.
Boarding party? I don't think that's likely, sir.
Counselor.
there was absolutely no evidence of anybody coming on board the Vico. We would have found a transporter field trace. Or if somebody had used the entry ports, we would have found an electrostatic differential in the docking latches, and we didn't. Could Timothy have imagined that, Counselor?
Or could he be lying?
If he's lying, I haven't been able to sense it. Perhaps his emotional trauma level is too high.
Why wouldn't he tell us the truth?
He's still in shock. It's hard to know what's going on in his mind right now.
Well, I'll go back and check the sensor readings again, but I don't think we're going to find anything.
Thank you, Geordi.
Data. Captain, I think we should ask Data to spend some time with him.
I do not understand.
I'm very worried about his behavior, and what I just heard doesn't make me feel any better. Data, you're the only one he's reached out to because you rescued him. We can use your relationship with him to help his recovery.
Would Timothy be more inclined to tell Data the truth about what happened?
It's a possibility.
Commander, proceed with Timothy as the Counselor suggests.
Aye, sir. Counselor, exactly how shall I proceed?
Just be with him. Your presence he trusts, and that's what he needs most right now.
Timothy is now starting the third story of his model building.
What? Data.
Hello, Timothy. May I enter?
Yeah.
You were attempting to recreate the Dockeron Temple of Kharal Hanish?
Isn't it great? See, there's the big hallway the teacher told us about. And that's where everybody came in. That's where they stood, and that's where the altar was. What do you think?
Do you wish a frank evaluation?
Timothy shrugs.
It lacks the harmony that characterized this particular temple, and the Dockeron culture in general.
Timothy throws the piece he's holding away and slumps down on a sofa.
You hate it.
No, I am not capable of hatred.
Can't do anything right.
You are making an unwarranted extrapolation. I was merely offering an aesthetic analysis of this particular model.
Timothy retrieves the pillars he knocked to the floor and goes back to work on the model.
The base appears quite sturdy. May I suggest a different approach? You are attempting to construct the upper level before the supports are in place. Observe.
Look forward to Data.
Data here.
I need your help with the shield modulators.
I will join you in a moment, Geordi. Data out. Lieutenant LaForge requires my assistance.
Data makes to leave, but stops as if remembering something. He comes back to the crestfallen boy and constructs the upper story at lightning speed. Timothy is amazed and delighted.
Designed to exceed human capacity, both mentally and physically.
Androids are better than humans?
Better is a highly subjective term. I do not, for example, possess the ability to experience emotion as humans do.
No emotions? You mean you can't be happy or sad?
That is correct.
Why not?
My positronic brain is not capable of generating those conditions. Goodbye.
Data. Can we build something else later?
That would be acceptable.
Bye.
Data returns the boy's wave just as the elevator doors slide closed. Alone again, Timothy returns to the model and admires it. Then he stands in front of a mirror, dispassionately considering himself.
I am designed to exceed human capacity. That is correct.
Timothy imitates Data's movements. Meanwhile, in the observation lounge...
The Black Cluster was formed almost 9 billion years ago when hundreds of protostars collapsed in close proximity. The resulting gravitational forces are both violent and highly unpredictable.
To get anywhere near the center, we're going to have to push through the graviton wave fronts like the science ship was designed to do. I've already adjusted our shields accordingly.
The gravitational forces will affect sensor accuracy. Detecting an enemy vessel will be difficult.
Maybe that's what happened to the Vico. They didn't see anything coming until it was too late.
Counselor, has the boy volunteered any further information?
No, but I do have an appointment with him in less than half an hour.
If there's a possibility of getting more from him, I'd like you to pursue it. But we need to continue our investigation. We'll enter the Black Cluster at 0700 hours tomorrow morning. Dismissed.
Deanna makes her way to Timothy's quarters. He's dressed as much like Data as he can.
Hello, Timothy. Are you ready to go?
Yes, Counselor. I am ready.
How are you feeling?
I am functioning within established parameters.
Established parameters? You sound like Data.
I am an android.
I see. Well, let's go for our walk, shall we?
That would be acceptable.
As he goes on ahead, Deanna is concerned. She takes him to 10 forward.
So, what would you like?
Androids do not need to eat or drink.
His attention is caught by some fabulous-looking ice cream sundaes being brought to another table.
However, we sometimes like to taste things. A tamarind frost, please. Would you like anything, Counselor?
No, I'm fine, thank you.
As you wish.
So, you're no longer a human.
I'm an android.
When did this happen?
I've always been an android.
What's it like being an android?
I'm designed to exceed human capacity, both mentally and physically. But I do not experience emotions.
You don't? No emotion at all?
That is correct.
An android?
I know it sounds unusual, but it is understandable. Technically, it's called enantiodromia, conversion into the opposite. Timothy went from human to machine, from being emotional to being emotionless. But the underlying trauma is still there. He's just found a new way to suppress it.
Counselor, how long will this behavior last?
As long as he needs it to. Timothy is rebuilding his identity as best he can. The android persona is just one step along the way. As soon as he feels stronger and more sure of himself, it should drop away naturally.
I assume this is not the time to confront him about what happened to his ship.
Not yet. The best thing we can do right now is let Timothy take us where he wants to go. We should support the process and even encourage it.
Data, I would like you to make Timothy the best android he can possibly be.
Data is shocked. Data picks up two brushes, checks his own hairstyle in the mirror, and prepares to restyle Timothy's hair.
Timothy, your head movements are counterproductive. Can you be still?
Would you do it?
The servo mechanisms in my neck are designed to approximate human movements. I did not realize the effect was so distracting.
I like it.
Uses the brushes to clamp Timothy's head still, then commences his restyle.
Data, are there any other androids in Starfleet?
No. I am the only one.
How come you're not captain?
My service record does not yet warrant such a position.
Data? What's the scariest thing that ever happened to you?
Fear is not a quality that I possess.
Because it's an emotion.
Correct.
But what if you had a nightmare?
I have never had a nightmare. I do not require sleep. Are you having disturbing dreams?
I do not require sleep.
Data seems to register the boy's increasing distress and turns him towards the mirror to inspect his new slicked-back android coiffure.
Is that satisfactory?
It's perfect.
Transfer circuits are functioning properly.
Within established parameters?
Absolutely. Input processing, pattern recognition, all within established parameters.
Thank you, Doctor.
The two androids are busy painting. Data's is a landscape of near photographic quality, while Timothy paints a jagged, violent, abstract affair with black zigzags exploding against a red background.
I ran out of red ochre.
You may use mine.
Thank you.
Perhaps you should return to your quarters.
I'm fine. The servo mechanisms in my mouth are designed to approximate human movements.
Data somewhat comically attempts a yawn.
That is not bad.
Thank you. It is very expressive.
Thank you.
Is your painting representative of something?
It's just a painting.
Timothy, you understand that you may speak to me about anything you wish, any subject.
I understand.
At times, I too find it difficult to share my thoughts with others. I am not always confident that I am expressing myself in a manner which humans can comprehend. But I do know that...
Finally succumbed and nodded off. Quietly and carefully, Data puts down his palette and brush and carries the boy to the couch. On the bridge, Worf studies the sensor readings.
We are approaching the perimeter. I'm picking up the gravitational wave fronts.
Engage forward shields, 35%.
Shields up.
The crew is jolted forward.
Drop to 1/4 impulse, Ensign.
Yes, sir.
They are jolted again.
Bridge to engineering.
Adjusting shield frequencies now, Commander. We'll have this smoothed out in just a second.
The jolts become more regular and the crew more uneasy.
Ensign, adjust course for any deviations.
Yes, sir.
Resume 1/3 impulse.
Captain, I'm reading something at 400,000 kilometers off the starboard bow. Possibly a ship.
Red alert.
Take us to visual range, Ensign.
Adjusting course.
Sensor readings have disappeared. Wait. I'm picking up another reading at 400,000 kilometers off the port bow. It's gone. No. It is back to starboard.
Captain, the black cluster is distorting the sensors. We're picking up echoes of the Enterprise reflecting off the wavefronts.
Cancel red alert. Mr. Worf, adjust sensors to compensate for the distortion.
Aye.
Sensor difficulties have been reported by ships traveling through black clusters, but never this extreme.
Captain, it's 7 times more massive than any explored previously. That could explain the difference.
Resume previous course, Ensign.
Yes, sir.
Deanna and Data observe the schoolroom from behind a one-way mirror. Timothy sits with two other children enjoying his science lesson.
He laughed.
Yes. It's nice to see, isn't it?
It is certainly not consistent with his android persona.
I'd say he's beginning the process of letting go of that fantasy.
Then my work with him is done.
No, I don't think it is, Data. A laugh is one step in the right direction. We need to help him take a few more steps.
How, Counselor?
I'd like you to talk to him about your own fascination with humanity. If you explain to Timothy the appeal that humanity has for you, he might find it easier to become a boy again.
Data nods and takes Timothy for sodas, cakes, and ice cream.
This is great. How was yours?
The complex polysaccharides, in reaction with the carbon dioxide, produces an unusual combination of texture and effervescence.
But how does it taste? Is it good?
I am not capable of tasting in the manner you suggest. However, I can analyze the composition of a dessert and make comparative conclusions about its possible effect on the human palate. But I neither like it nor dislike it.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I have often wondered what it must be like to have one's mouth water in anticipation of the arrival of a confection, or to feel the pleasure I have observed in humans as they consume it.
You sound like you don't want to be an android.
I am an android. That will never change.
But if you could change, would you?
I have often wished to be human. I study people carefully in order to more closely approximate human behavior.
Why? We're stronger and smarter than humans. We can do more than they can.
But I cannot take pride in my abilities. I cannot take pleasure in my accomplishments.
But we never have to feel bad either.
I would gladly risk feeling bad at times, if it also meant that I could taste my dessert.
As their eyes meet, the Enterprise cruises ever deeper into the Stygian darkness.
Captain, gravitational wavefront intensity is increasing steadily. 1100 standard G units and rising.
Picard squints at the shimmering blue-black bubble on the screen.
Let's see if anyone's out there. Mr. Worf, attempt a wide-range sensor sweep.
Aye, sir. Gravitational distortion is too great, Captain. The scanning signal is again being reflected off the wavefronts. I'm unable to compensate. Senses are useless.
Mr. Data, to the bridge, please.
Acknowledged.
Adjust sensors to short range. Attempt a limited positron scan.
The distortion is still in effect.
Try to jack at the scanning beam.
The secondary beam is being distorted as well.
Mr. Data, our sensors are being rendered ineffective by the field distortion. I want your analysis. Mr. Worf. Fire phases. Maximum intensity, limited spectrum, 001, Mark 045.
An experiment, Captain.
Exactly, number one.
Firing phasers.
The phasers energize, but as they reach their target, fork away like orange lightning.
Explanation, Mr. Data.
Phaser energy was reflected by the gravitational wave fronts. It is similar to the phenomenon distorting our sensor signals.
Phasers and sensors, both useless. Mr. Data, this reflection phenomenon, would it have the same effect on a disruptor-style weapon?
Yes, sir. Disruptors would be ineffective.
And a ship's cloaking field?
It would be extremely difficult to maintain, sir.
Mr. Data, is it at all likely that the Vico could have been attacked inside the cluster?
Given the effects we have observed, the probability is exceedingly remote, sir.
Picard to Counselor Troy.
Yes, Captain.
Counselor, will you bring Timothy to my ready room? Timothy, Can you tell us what happened to your ship?
I did tell you.
Tell us again.
We were attacked.
That is highly unlikely. Our investigations have clearly demonstrated...
We were attacked!
Timothy, androids do not lie.
It was me.
Please explain.
It was me. I did it. I killed them all.
Outside, the Enterprise is surrounded by lowering blue-black clouds.
Everything was shaking. I lost my balance. I was just trying to hold on to something. I didn't mean to do it.
What was it that you didn't mean to do, Timothy?
My arm. Hit the computer panel. That's what destroyed the ship.
The ship was damaged when your arm hit the computer panel. Timothy, listen to me. The damage to your ship might have occurred at the same time your arm touched the panel. But it was only a coincidence. This wasn't your fault.
Yes, it was.
It is not possible. The onboard control systems for every starship require a user code clearance. You could not have inadvertently affected any of the Vico's systems.
Your computer had safety precautions. There is nothing you could have touched that would have damaged your ship.
You're not responsible for what happened to your parents, Timothy.
But if it wasn't me?
We are trying to determine what happened right now. And if there is anything you can remember that might assist...
Another jolt.
It's just how it was. When it started on the Vico.
The menacing, shimmering bubble fills the viewing screen.
Wavefront intensity has increased.
Increased shield to 75%.
Aye, sir.
Damage, Mr. Worf?
Minimal, sir. Shields are holding.
Ensign full about. Go to warp two.
The gravitational distortion is too high. We can't maintain a warp field.
Full shields. Aye.
Captain, impulse power has been disrupted. The helm won't respond.
We couldn't get out either.
Timothy, perhaps you and I should go below and get out of everyone's way.
No.
Riker to LaForge. Can you give me more power to the shields?
Stand by.
That's what they kept saying. More shields. More shields.
Timothy, accompany me, please. I want you to recall everything you heard people say aboard the Vico before it was destroyed.
I don't know, just that. Just more shields.
Captain, I've transferred
fusion reactors 4 through 9 into the shield array. That should double the shield strength.
Wavefront intensity has increased by an order of magnitude. Impact in 3, 2, 1.
The worst jolt yet, the lights dim.
Wavefront intensity is continuing to increase. Structural overpressure now exceeding 180%.
LaForge?
I don't understand. That should have been enough.
We could run the shield grid directly off the warp drive.
Go ahead, Commander.
Initiating warp transfer pathways now.
Diverting warp power to the shields.
Warp power to the shields. They said that too, Data. I'm positive.
Scrolling columns of systems analysis readouts.
Wavefront intensity has increased by a factor of 10. Contact in 31 seconds. Without additional power to the shields, the outer hull will not hold.
LaForge?
Warp transfer to the shields complete.
That's as strong as they're gonna get.
Impact in 15 seconds.
Sir, drop the shields.
That's suicide, Data.
Captain, drop the shields.
Picard turns from Data to the approaching destructive terror on the screen.
Make it so.
Aye.
The wavefront bubble passes harmlessly around the ship.
Our own shields caused the increases in the wavefront, sir. We have been experiencing a harmonic amplification effect.
The more energy we dumped into the shield, the worse the impact.
Precisely. That is also what destroyed the Vico. When Timothy remembered similar procedures on his ship, I initiated an analysis of shield output to wavefront amplification and discovered a correlation.
If we had transferred all that warp power to the shields, it would have torn the ship apart.
Status, Ensign.
Navigation is coming back online.
Full about. One quarter impulse. Take us out of here.
And banks through 360 degrees.
Timothy's a boy feeling a great deal of pain, but he is a boy again.
Data observes that Timothy does not join in.
Is this difficult for you, Data?
Difficult?
To watch him moving away from being like you.
That would require an emotional context, which I cannot provide.
Okay, everybody, let's go. Come on.
Timothy sits alone on a climbing frame.
Hello, Timothy.
Hi, Data. How are you?
I am operating within established parameters. How are you?
I miss my parents. But I'm okay. I guess you thought I was pretty silly when I had my hair like yours and everything.
I've been told that imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Can we still do things together? Even if I'm not really an android?
I have many human friends. I would be pleased to count you among them.
That would be acceptable.
Timothy laughs once again. The Enterprise glides away, stars shooting past its elegant hull. The end.